Hello, everyone, and welcome. Too many of us are going through life stressed, anxious, depressed, and alone. We carry scars from our past that follow us into the future. But what we've seen as weakness turns out to be our greatest strength. We are not the damaged, the defective, or the weak. We are the unbroken. Hello, once again, Unbroken friends and family. I'm your host, Pete Bucher. It's a delight and a privilege to be with you here, as always, as we work through this six-step process of healing, of shifting our narrative, of reclaiming our life, reclaiming ourselves, at whatever point in life you are, from the grips of the effects of early life trauma or growing up in dysfunctional homes. I've worked this program with people from their early 20s into literally their 80s with great results. All that it requires is that you come to a recognition, a point of awareness, that there is a problem and that you don't want to live this way anymore. And then you just work the steps. And granted, I can't do it as individually, maybe as powerfully in this format as we can working together. But you can get a lot from what we're doing here in this format. Or you can try working with this and working with your therapist or working with your 12-step group or however it is that you're going about the healing process and maybe giving you some new ways to think about you, your past, your life today, and where you would like it to go as you move forward. In the previous episode, we talked about aligning with your true self, awakening your true self by nurturing it, like you would nurture and water and give nutrients to a plant. Letting your true self emerge as the reality that you're living. And as this starts to happen, what you start to notice is a new way of being starts to come out. You start to feel a little more comfortable, a little more confident, a little more peaceful in your own skin. And when you do that, what will happen is the thoughts, the emotions that you experience day to day start to change because they arise from your subconscious based on the beliefs and the stories that you have going underneath the surface that we looked at in episodes 26 and 27. We looked at the identifying the brokenness belief. We looked at how to shift the belief. And so when you have the belief, you have the core emotion, and you have these barrier beliefs of who I'm supposed to be, not supposed to be, how the world is supposed to be, not supposed to be, what it takes to fit in and belong, to gain love, acceptance. There's all these rules that we have to play by when we're playing by the old story. If I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, I'm not wanted, or whatever that belief was for you, we have, when life happens and we encounter life events, certain thoughts now will spark up into our conscious mind and that they trigger emotions, and the emotions then trigger our actions. So it's really important that we do that shift underneath. And then what happens is the thoughts and the emotions that you experience day to day start reflecting this new version, the truthful version, and it's much less work. I remember back when I was first entering this process for myself, that it felt like I was having to run this film projector all the time, projecting the self on, you know, out there for other people to see so I could be acceptable, I could be lovable, I could have worth by what I was showing to people. I didn't believe I had it internally. It's a hard thing to admit. It's also why I'm here, because I know it's hard for you to face and admit. And that projector only can go on for so long, and that bulb starts to burn out and the power starts to go down. It just takes a lot of energy to project this self, project confidence, project worth, project perfection, whatever it is that you're having to project into the world. it's hard work. It's exhausting. And it never stops. But as we start to shift into a more truthful way of being, now we come into alignment with ourselves. Now we're congruent. Our outside self is congruent with a deeper belief we have that we're already loved, that we're already enough, that there is no more enoughness to be than I am actually. That I am who I am, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, all of the parts, the flaws, the warts and all. And that's okay. That's who we are. And the only thing I need to be is to come to the full expression of myself. Not to be someone different. And you find it's just a much easier way to live. But the old story has a lot of power. You develop this set of beliefs because you thought that's what you needed to do to survive. So it's hardwired down deep. It gets really ingrained. And so what happens when your thoughts start to drift back over to the old way? Thoughts of smallness, thoughts of I have to be this or not be that. Those old feelings of hurt, of anger, of deep sadness or intense anxiety. Whatever they are for you, what happens when those things start to show up again? And so I'll give you a couple of very practical tools. And again, if you've been listening this much, you know I like simple and I like practical. How can we leverage something simple to have a very powerful impact? And so here's the reality. Emotions are often what drive our decisions, drive our choices, drive our actions. But emotions, whether we recognize it or not, are always triggered or accompanied by an underlying thought. And sometimes the thought is hard to find. You just feel the emotion intensely, and you're not aware of the thought. And one way to identify the thought is when you're having an emotion, how is it that you're talking to yourself? What's the internal dialogue? And you'll start to get to what the actual thought is. And when you can identify the thought, now you can actually catch it before it causes a whole trip down the old rabbit hole. I'll give you an example from my own life. In fact, this very technique I'm getting ready to teach you came from this example. I was working a lot with my thoughts and my resulting emotions, and I was in my house one night, and I was going to go do something. And I was walking from my living room back to my bedroom, which I have to walk out into a hallway and then down the hallway and then take another. It's a left turn, then another left turn. And my mind was going, 300 miles a minute like our minds do. And I was walking back to the hallway and I slammed my shoulder into the door frame. So I was going to have to turn left and then turn left again. And I just misjudged and slammed my shoulder into the door frame as I was walking out of my living room. And the first thing that popped out, I got really angry. And I went, God, you're such a fucking idiot. And then I stopped myself. And I said, or what else? What's another possibility? Well, another possibility is I'm not an idiot and I just misjudged a doorframe. I wasn't paying attention. And what happened in that moment was just a profound shift of the emotion of that event. I laughed at myself for getting so upset and for being clumsy. Not in a pejorative or sarcastic way, but I just got genuinely tickled. I was like, oh my gosh, that was a heck of a reaction. And then I noticed that I started to feel compassion for myself. Wow, that was really aggressive. It's really awful that you would think that about yourself. And then I noticed my shoulder was hurting, throbbing a little bit. Okay, well, let's take care of the shoulder. Fortunately, it was fine. I didn't injure myself bad, but it hurt. And it just was profound. I was like, it was just that simple to catch the thought and to challenge it. Simply by asking one question. What's another possibility? So the thing with working with thoughts is most of the time when we're thinking a lot, or especially when there's an intensity of emotion, most of us will either act out on the emotion to try to dissipate the energy. You know, men, we like to punch things, walls, pillows, hopefully not other people, but sometimes some do that. You might scream, you might cry, you might do a number of things to offset the energy of the emotion. Remember, emotions are energy in motion. That's what the word refers to. But most of the time we feel an intensity of emotion, we have this overrun of thoughts, we try to suppress them, push them out, not think about it, not pay attention. It's actually the opposite thing. You want to turn your full attention to it. It's very counterintuitive. But if I turn my full attention to the feeling, oh, I'm so angry, and just let myself be overrun with that feeling, and then all of a sudden I go, oh, wait, why am I so angry? Right? Well, the first thought was, you're such an idiot. Okay, so I caught that thought, and then I challenged it. Okay, that's one possibility. See, I acknowledge it. Okay, well, that's one explanation for why you ran into the door frame. What's another possibility? Oh, you just weren't paying attention, and you slammed your shoulder into a door frame. And by the way, you've bumped into door frames 1,000 times before in your life. This isn't the first time. So the first part was just acknowledging the thought and then just asking, what's another possibility? And then another possibility popped up. Well, you just weren't paying attention. And that one, net to me, felt a lot better in my body. I felt it. I go, oh, that feels a lot better. And by the way, if you're looking at the two, you would notice that that's the more truthful version. The more truthful version is the one that felt better. Why? Because it's more aligned with the reality of the situation. Doesn't say anything about my intellect or my ability to be a functional human. It just says I wasn't paying attention and I just happened to run into a door frame. So when confronting thoughts, it's three steps. Acknowledge the thought that you had. You know, after a breakup, you might say, wow, no one's ever going to love me. Or losing your job, I'm such a loser. Or whatever it might be. We all do it. And there's a feeling with that. So you catch that thought and you go, okay, well, that's one possibility. What's another possibility? Well, maybe I wasn't meant to be in that job anymore and there's something even better for me out there. Maybe that person couldn't love me or that person won't love me, but somebody else will. See, I catch the thought and I say, what's another possibility? And the second you ask, what's another possibility? When you start practicing this a little bit, you'll notice 2, 3, 4 possibilities, maybe more, just come in instantly. Or just one comes and you go, okay, that's another possibility. Now what's another one? And you'll notice that at some point, one that comes in that you just feel better about in your body comes in. It releases the tension and you just go, oh, that's another possibility. And then you just pick the one that feels the best. Because number one, it's usually the most truthful. And number two, if we're working with our imagination here on, you know, explaining why I ran into a door frame in my example, why not pick one at least that feels better? The problem is the me judging myself as an idiot, the reason it had so much emotion is because I had to go one step deeper. Well, if I'm an idiot, then what? Then I must be unlovable. If I'm such a loser, then what? Then I truly have no worth. If no one could ever love me, then what? I must be unlovable. I made a mistake and that's why. Okay, so I made a mistake, then what? Oh, I'm just not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not perfect enough. You see, that deeper belief, that brokenness belief is always under the surface. When you have those intensity, that intensity of emotion with an extreme thought like that, That deeper belief is sitting right underneath that. You just have to dig one step deeper. And so I'm going to show you another trick that you can use. And the more you expose it, the more you expose that deeper belief that you have, the less power it has. So I call this a five-step inquiry. You can write this down. Five-step inquiry. In the mnemonic I use is the FTSB, like the Federal Transportation Safety Board, because it's like an investigation, like a little mini investigation. And why do we do an investigation? To get to the truth. So here you go. You have a feeling. That's the F. And then when you notice you have a feeling, what is it? It's usually some version of sad, mad, or scared. If you're feeling bliss, you're not going to inquire into that. We're not. None of us are going to question feeling really good. We're going to question it when we feel bad. We feel some intensity of what we call a negative emotion. I do that with finger quotes that you can't see because I think emotions are just emotions. Then we just acknowledge them. But it's a negative feeling emotion for most of us. And generally, it's some version of sad, mad, or scared. So that's the feeling. Okay, well, as soon as you recognize you're feeling it, sometimes I can be an hour into it before I know what I'm feeling. You know, it's okay. But when you realize that you're contracted and you're feeling bad, and you go, okay, wait, stop. What am I feeling? And you don't even have to know what the feeling is. Like for me, it took me years of practicing to even be able to name what an emotion was. I was so closed off to it. It just feels bad, contracted, tight. I feel anxious. I feel stressed. I feel tense. It doesn't matter. You don't have to name the specific thing. You just notice that you're feeling something. Okay, what am I feeling? And go, okay, I'm feeling tense, I'm feeling tight, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling angry, upset, stressed, whatever. That's the F, feeling. What triggered the feeling? That's the T. What was the trigger? I ran into a door frame. Or if you're in a conversation with someone, okay, or you just have had one, what triggered this feeling? Well, it was this conversation with my, you know, girlfriend, husband, whomever. Be more specific. It was when they said this or this topic came up. Get as specific as you can. Identify the trigger. So the feeling and the trigger, the S is, okay, well, the trigger was they said this. For me, I ran into the doorframe. What's the story? Well, the story was, well, if I ran into the doorframe, I must be an idiot. I can't even walk through a door frame without messing that up. But also the story is you can start to look at, well, what's the negative outcome I'm expecting? Because in general, if you get upset, it's because you have the thought associates with some anticipated negative outcome. So if you can identify what it is that you think is going to happen based on the event that triggered you, you can really start to get close to the underlying thing. But in this case, I didn't even have to. Okay, I was feeling upset. The trigger was I ran into the door frame. The story was I must be an idiot if I ran into the door frame. And you can go to the B. What's the belief that underlies that? Well, if I'm that big of an idiot, then no one could ever love me, right? I'm not sitting there running the door frame and going, man, no one's ever going to love me. But the second I stop and I just dig in one level deeper, it's right there. Getting fired from your job, it's a story about worth or enoughness. Getting broken up with, again, enoughness, worth, lovability, or wantedness. It's all right there. Anytime you're feeling contracted, negative, bad, anxious, tense, upset, that deeper belief is right there. You just identify it and see it for what it is. And so that investigation, right, the FTSB, the investigation, points to one thing. What is that? The truth. So the fifth step of the fifth five-step inquiry. The feeling, what's the trigger, what's the story I have about it, and what belief does that reflect? The fifth thing is, what's the truth? The truth is, it had nothing to do with whether I'm lovable or not. It only has to do with the fact that I happened to not be paying attention and I ran into a door frame. Now, that's a trivial example, but it was illuminating for me to see my mind in action and to be able to stop it and go, wait a second. Back that up a second. Let's dig into this for a minute. So just try this on your own. When you're feeling something that feels contracting, tight, tense, upsetting, stressful, anxious, if you're laying in bed at night, your mind is running like crazy. Okay, what's here? What are you feeling? I'm feeling frazzled, right? My mind is running crazy. Great. What triggered it? I think I had a dream. About what? I don't know. Okay. A dream works. What's the story I have going on right now? Well, if I don't get sleep, I'm going to mess up something tomorrow at work. I'm not going to, you know, we realize that we're running off into the future and something bad is going to happen. Okay. Well, what's the deeper belief? Well, if I go to work and I'm too tired and I make a mistake, then they're going to fire me. Okay. So that's the story. What's the deeper belief? It's triggering such an intense feeling. Right. Well, I can't make a mistake. I have to be perfect. Because if I'm not perfect, then it'll just be proof that I'm not enough. It's always right there, guys. You just have to dig one level deeper. Another version is, and I have been told, and I have not looked this up to verify, you can, that this is a Japanese inspired practice that is similar. That is, you ask the same question 5 times in a row, and it's just one word, and the answer, the question is, why? So you can do it in the same way. Boy, I'm really upset. Why? Because I ran into a door frame. Why? Is that upsetting to me? Because it makes me feel like an idiot. Okay, why is that upsetting? Or why do I feel like an idiot? Or why does that matter? Right? And you ask it 5 times and you get to the bottom of it. So that's another way of doing the same thing. Very simple to remember. Much easier than my version to remember. Just ask the question why 5 times in a row. Maybe it's 6 or 7 times in a row, but you'll get to it. But the spoiler alert is it's always going to lead to the same thing. Whatever that brokenness belief was that you got in episode 26 at that step 2 of the eye of visage, it's always going to lead to there. Because that was the initial wounding. The initial wounding, when you first started to feel something was wrong with you, you formed that belief, and that's attached to your stress response in your brain. It triggers the flood of stress hormones in your body, and you're going to feel those that emotion that was attached to that, which is some version of sad, mad, or scared. It's always going to be the same. That same belief. If you had overt trauma and you have some PTSD symptoms that just have never gone away, it may just be a general feeling of unsafety or insecurity. I don't mean insecurity like around the people. I mean like you're not secure. Lack of security and safety. And that's appropriate in that circumstance. But just see it for what it is. And then it starts to heal. Now, emotions. So if the thought thing, you know, isn't happening or it's too difficult or you just can't wrap your head around it and you just are feeling the same, you know, the healthiest way to deal with an emotion is to acknowledge it and just let it play out. And I can't remember if I've said this in the show before or not. If I have, then it's certainly worth repeating. The average human emotion, when triggered, left to its own devices, lasts about 90 seconds. So whatever it is that you're feeling, if you can just be aware of it, maybe just take a few slow, steady, deep breaths and let it be there, it'll move on pretty quickly on its own. It's when we try to force it away, we try to really fan the flames of it, that's when the emotions kind of get problematic. Either they take over us, or we get so good at learning to shove them under the rug, because when we're traumatized, when we're growing up in chronic dysfunction, we learn to suppress our emotions or overly express them one extreme or the other. And that's when they're problematic. That's when they cause disease and conflict and all kinds of other problems. Because again, it's energy in motion. When you bury that energy down, it's still there. You just aren't experiencing it. So it creates disturbances in your, literally disturbances in your physiology and leads to disease. But, So the healthy thing is to feel the emotion, let it come in, let it be there, and let it move on. But if you notice the same trigger, the same emotion being triggered over and over and over again, acknowledge it and realize that there are two master emotions that we have. I do this exercise sometimes in when I'm giving these talks in groups, and I'll go through and have people close their eyes, and I'll say different words that reflect different emotional states, and some feel good and some feel bad. You know, if I say greed versus generosity, or forgiveness versus holding a grudge, anger, resentment versus compassion, you get the idea. Certain words feel better in your body. Certain words tighten you up. The ones that tighten you up fall under the category of the master emotion of fear. The ones that open you up, that feel better, that feel softer in your body, or warm, people describe it different ways, those fall under the master emotion of love. That's it. Two master emotions, love and fear. If it tightens you up, you feel bad, it's fear. If it opens you up and you feel good, it's love. It's that simple, guys. And these emotions aren't out there like popping around like popcorn. They're parts of a spectrum together. Generosity and greed. That's an easy one to see. If I'm at the fear end, the scarcity end, there's never enough, I have to hold on to mine, then you go to greed. And it could be money, time, energy, love, anything. Greed. If you always have a sense of abundance and it's plentiful and I can just give away, then you go to generosity. Resentment versus compassion. Intolerance versus acceptance, whatever. You just look, they're just different ends of the same spectrum. So the easy thing is to say, okay, boy, I'm really feeling tight and tense. I'm feeling really scared. Good. So we invite a loving feeling in. Just invite it in. Just open your heart. Especially when it feels unnatural to do so. How do I open my heart to the situation? What is the love-based equivalent of this thing I'm feeling? Now, that's sometimes a vague thing. It can be hard, especially if you're not good at identifying emotions like I wasn't when I was first learning this stuff. So I'm going to give you a cheat, give you a hack here. There are three love-based emotional experiences that are kind of the top of the chain as far as the energy. Remember, energy in motion is an emotion. So if we go to the highest energy emotions, how can I overcome whatever the bad thing I'm feeling is? We go to one of these three. Compassion, which the best definition of compassion I've ever heard was a guy named Jack Kornfield, who's a famous Buddhist spiritual and meditation teacher. I heard him speak once. He said, where love meets pain, compassion is born. You just love yourself through it. I love myself through ramming my shoulder into a doorframe. Compassion. And the pain that I must have been triggered that caused such a violent anger reaction and me calling myself a fucking idiot. I really felt diminished as a human because I hit my shoulder on a doorframe. I was able to have compassion for that as opposed to just remaining angry. Love met pain. I had compassion. And it transformed the whole experience, guys. It's just that quick. If one of my children ran into the doorframe and called themselves an idiot, I go, wait, hold on a second. You're not an idiot because you hit yourself. Like, we do that naturally for other people. We don't do it naturally for ourselves. It's just that frame shift. That's all that's required. So compassion is one. Gratitude. It sometimes seems a little campy. It has to me in the past. I'm just thankful I have a shoulder to ram into the doorframe. Or that I have a doorframe, a house to be in that I can ram my shoulder into. A lot of people don't have that and would give anything to have that experience. And that's sometimes hard to go to when you're feeling small and inside yourself, but it is powerful. What are three things I'm thankful for right in this minute when I'm feeling bad? That can start to transform the energy. And the third one is generosity. Now, this one's a little bit harder. Until you realize this. These negative feelings, these fear-based emotions, in many ways, they are based in scarcity. Greed is an easy one to see. It's based in scarcity. Well, if I give this person love, then there won't be enough love for someone else or for me. Money is an easy one to see. Jealousy, another one. Scarcity. It's where scarcity meets anger, right? I'm jealous. That person got the job I wanted. Now I'm angry. Scarcity. There's not another, it's an implied, there's not another job that's going to make me as happy as that one. We don't know that. This person got the person I wanted to date. Well, the generous option is, you know what? I hope that they can honestly and truly hope they can be happy. Now I'm going to go find someone that makes me even happier than I would have been there, right? We go to this state of abundance, the state of plenty, as opposed to a state of scarcity. Now, this may all be a little more abstract. It just takes practice. Think of someone, better yet, reach out to someone that you love and care about. Write down things that you love about that person, or your pet, or your child, or your nephew, or niece, or your grandparent, whomever. Who is it that I love? Who loves me back in this moment? Catalog it. Read through it. Write it down. But feel the pain that you feel as you're doing this. Don't push it away. Don't indulge it. Don't resist it. Just let it be. And then, at the same time, work on inviting the love-based emotions in. And watch the emotion transform. The plant that grows up out of the soil in your consciousness, in this case the emotion, is based on soil conditions. So what's my mood? What do I believe about myself? And environmental conditions like, you know, sun, water, oxygen for the plants, and carbon dioxide. In this situation, the soil is my mood, my inner belief. And the environmental conditions are what happens. And then the thing pops up and it's jealousy or it's rage. I go, wait a second. Okay. Pete said, if I just let that play out, that plant will wither. It'll start to wither. Or I can work on bringing a new nutrient into this soil condition. And if I'm feeling pain inside myself and I'm feeling not worthy, not lovable, not wanted, what if I invite some love into here? Oh, compassion. And that's a very different plant than rage or jealousy or greed. Feels very different. It'll transform your experience very fast if you can get facile at doing this. So just play around with these things. Very powerful. I've given you some exercises. I've given you some different metaphors of ways to think about emotions. For many of you, you probably have never thought about your emotions in these ways. It's just the energy that is created when life meets your inner belief. And if we shift the inner belief, the emotions will change on their own. You'll still feel sadness and anger and scared at times. It just won't be as intense and it won't be irrational. These things pop up irrationally. It's irrational to be filled with rage and self-loathing because I hit my shoulder in a doorframe. That was irrational. It's not that it wasn't valid. It's always valid. It's just that it wasn't rational. And I stopped. I said, wait a second. What's another possibility? And as soon as I said that, the truth came. It's a feeling, a trigger, a story, which reflected a deeper belief. It always goes back to that deeper belief. And then I was able to see the truth. And then I was able to be free of it and actually take care of what needed to be taken care of. And I experienced a little self-love in the process. What a gift. One of the hardest things that we do in our lives as unbrokens is show ourselves love. Because most of us don't believe we really deserve it, deep down. And nothing could be further from the truth. If one person tells you they love you today, and that person is me, then I want you to hear it. I love you. For being exactly who you are, not in spite of it. And I guarantee I'm not the only person. Just look for the love where you know it is. Find the evidence in your life. See it. If your belief is not enoughness, look at all the things that you do well. What is it that people ask you for your help with? Look for the evidence. It's always right there. And it's much more plentiful than any evidence to the old negative woundedness, brokenness story. Just look. Be willing to take a stand, a loving stand for yourself. Then the healing begins. And you begin to truly experience yourself as unbroken.